excited about the Junior Church. We have donuts, so.
Good morning, everybody, again. You're probably wondering what the heck's going on here. We got all these dentists in the pulpit. You know? Dr. Drew did a great job a couple weeks ago, and so here I am. I guess that means Dr. Matt's next. Right? Yeah. Get fired up. All right, so today it's truly an honor and a privilege and also a blessing to be up here sharing God's word. You know, the end result here today is I want to just give honor to God and what I say and what I do and bring Him all the glory. But I want to open today with a prayer out of Scripture. I want to read out of 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Because this really hit me, and I thought it would be a good opening prayer. It says, "Whoever speaks, as one who speaks, oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves, by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified, through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So that's my prayer. I thought that was appropriate to the lesson today that I'm going to present here. So I just want to give you a quick background on why I'm up here today. Because there's a little story behind it. And so Pastor John and I, the past year, we've taught Fundamentals of the Faith. And this has been going on for a while. But anyway, in the second to the last lesson, Pastor John spoke on witnessing. And Pastor John's always, I always say things that on Friday mornings or in this class, he brought up the fact that Doc always says people rather see a sermon than hear one, which I say quite often. And so we kind of went around, you know, we text back and forth, we got together, and so he said, well, hey, why don't you, he challenged me and said, why don't you preach on that? Isn't that right? So why don't you preach that? And I said, okay, I will. So that's why I'm here. And so Pastor John challenged me. And so in Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron. And there's a lot of guys in the building today that I sharpen iron with. And sometimes, you know, when you do that, you create sparks. Now, not that John and I created any sparks. It just, the point I'm trying to make here is that when you come out of that, you're sharper. You're definitely sharper, and that's what happens. And I challenge you, men and women, to find somebody that you can sharpen iron with. I think it was brought up in the Sunday school this morning. You need somebody to fellowship. You need somebody to talk doctrine over. You need somebody that challenges you spiritually and emotionally sometimes. And so I challenge you to do that. And so John and I continued our conversation, and I agree with what he's saying, because no doubt in Romans, if you want to turn to Romans 10, verse 17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's no doubt that we all need to hear the word of God, because salvation comes from those who hear and believe the facts of the gospel. That's Paul's point here. So in the discussion with Pastor John, this was after we had talked, and he had challenged me to come up here and preach. I went to that place called the Internet, and I looked up. I just kind of wanted to get a base of the percentages of people that go to church or profess to go to church. And I found a survey that in 2018, it said less than 20% of the population goes to church, which I think is less than that, because people that do these surveys, they want to make themselves out better than what they really are. So, I mean, there's probably a lot of Christers in there. Christer is, by definition, is somebody that just goes on Christmas and Easter. So I think the numbers are a little inflated. Just this morning we were driving here to church, and I was looking. We would go by the golf course, and the golf course is pretty packed. And maybe some of those people went to church last night. I don't know. I'm not judging them. But it just seems like there's not many people go to church anymore. So I asked the question to myself and to y'all is, if 80% of the people don't go to church, how are you going to reach them? I mean, how, you know, you could say, well, most people have cable, go to cable. Most of the preachers on TV are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're preaching false gospel. So I don't think that's a good thing. So at the end of the day, I think we have to look and say, we as believers might be the only sermon people see and hear. And so that's what I'm going to basically talk about today. Because if a person is not living a God-honoring life worth asking about, he shouldn't be professing to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Here's another one that I got from the Schneiders in our dialogue back and forth, and I thought this was pretty good. I think this was from Denise, right, Pastor? Some people need to see a sermon before they'll hear one. That was mine. And then the other one was some people need to see a sermon before they'll hear one. I think, is that the same? So I think these two thoughts come together, hearing the sermon, believing the gospel, and then becoming a living sermon. Because when I was growing up in the system I was brought up in, the people in the pulpit weren't living out during the week. In other words, they didn't give me any credibility because they preached the word, but they didn't live the word. And so I really didn't. I was confused until I got in my 20s, until I really met a living sermon. And that living sermon was a gentleman by the name of Jim Downing. And he's the one that really brought the living word, not only from his mouth, but from the way he lived his life. And so he really stuck with me, and that's how I began my Christian walk. And in fact, he baptized Jan and I probably 35 years ago. So it was he was my living sermon. So if we want to go to the text here, we'll go to Philippians 2:15 in the notes here. I think I wrote 15b. I'll just go ahead and read all of 15 here, and because that's going to be the text. Let me just go ahead and read the text. Chapter 2, verses 15. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. So I broke this down into three points here. Live with a purpose. Live with a purpose. And if we go to Matthew 22:37-39. This is the big picture, the ultimate purpose. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the big picture. That's our ultimate purpose, to have a purpose. So under purpose, I have three supporting points in verses 15b. It's my first point is to live for the sake of unbelievers. To live for the sake of unbelievers. In Philippians 2:15, it says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. So we all live in this crooked and perverse generation. And I think no Christian would argue with that because, you know, we just turn on the news and see how the world's going. It's not going good. And people aren't going good, especially this past week when everybody got shot up and killed. It's a shame. But Paul tells us to be lights in this dark world. And I think that's a great metaphor. He challenges us to, as believers, to be lights in this dark world. Pastor John went on a big lifelong backpacking trip a few weeks ago, and 10 days worth, I don't know if I can hang with that. I used to backpack, but the point is, when you get up in the mountains and there's no other light around you, those stars just boom out. And we're living in this dark world, and we should be one of those stars that we see up in the dark world when the darkness is closing around. Let's just go over to Matthew 5, 14 to 16. And this is Jesus talking. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Another great scripture here is 1 Peter 2:12. 1 Peter 2:12 says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on that day of visitation. So the way a true Christian lives is his life is the platform for his testimony. A true Christian is going to live faithfully, obedient, and according to God's word. Let your light shine before others. That's the challenge. So that we can live for the sake of unbelievers. We can shine like lights. The second part under here is to live with a purpose requires partnership with the Word of God. To live with a purpose requires partnership with the Word of God. And in verse 16a out of 2 Corinthians, it says, hold fast to the Word of life. Hold fast to the Word of life. We must live as partners with God's Word, always. We need to share God's Word with others that brings eternal life. And in the Greek there, it says holding forth or holding out God's Word. We need to share God's Word, not only by our words, but our actions also. We need to be partners with God's Word. The Word of life here refers to Scripture, which is also the gospel. So if you want to turn to John 6:63, and I'm just going to read that real quick, John 6:63, and then we're going to just bump down to John 6:66 and 68. Jesus says, and this is Jesus talking, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So this is the command from Jesus. We are to be partners with him in the word of life. And then if you just go down a few more verses here, this is his dialogue with Peter. After this, many of his disciples have turned back and no longer walk with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Peter answered him, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And just like we had in Sunday school today, we talked about Paul, and a lot of his supporters left him because they didn't want to hang anymore. It was too hard. So we need to be partners with the Word so our lives reflect a life with a purpose. Let me just repeat that. We need to be partners with the Word. We need to be sanctified. We need to grow in the Word so our lives reflect a life with a purpose. That's the second thing. And finally, the third thing here, to live a life with purpose requires perseverance. Verse 16b. It says, so that in the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. That's Paul talking. So to live a life with purpose requires perseverance. In Colossians 1:23, it says, if indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So how can we show perseverance? What can we do to show perseverance in our lives? Well, the first thing is we are made new creatures when we become believers in Christ. We love him, we hate sin, and we are energized by the Holy Spirit. That's how we show. It's like the fish, you know, I love to fish, and you see the fish going upstream. As Christians, that's what we do. it's hard to go upstream. A dead fish has it easy. He just gets in the stream and goes downstream, right? There's no energy involved. He just gets in the current. He's dead. He goes downstream, just like people today. There's a lot of dead fish out there, metaphorically speaking, spiritually speaking. So it's easy. They just go downstream. They don't have to expend energy on going upstream. They just ride the ride. They get on the train and then go downhill. That's easy. But as Christians, we persevere. We're going upstream. We need that Holy Spirit for us to go upstream. In Romans 5:3, it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. I know that slash was one of his favorite verses. The word endurance refers to perseverance. We show our purpose by showing how we respond to pressures of life. And like we talked today in Sunday school, when we have pressures in life, everybody's got their eye on you, because how are you going to respond to that pressure? How are you going to respond to that trial? And are you going to crumble? Are you going to persevere? Are you going to head upstream? Or are you going to be like a dead fish and just get in the stream and go downstream? So the challenge there is to show people how you respond by persevere. In James 2:18, this is one of my favorite verses, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And this just brings back memories from when I played college football. I played college football at New Mexico State, and back in the day. And so we had quite a few good athletes on the team. We had five or six guys go play on Sunday. They went on and played in the NFL. But there was a small group of guys that, they looked the part. They looked like a brick house. They were solid. They physically were put together, and they chirped all the time. Chirp, chirp, chirp. They told you how good they were all the time. I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Look at me, I'm great, I'm great, I'm great. But, it was funny, because when the whistle blew and the violence started, the hitting, they kind of disappeared. They weren't there. And they didn't back up what they said. In other words, they said they were a great football player, but they didn't. So we would look at these guys and say, hey, the guy looks like Tarzan, and he talks like Tarzan, but he plays like Jane. So I would look at some guys and I'd say, wow, that guy, he looks like Tarzan, talks like Tarzan, but he's a Jane. He plays like Jane. He doesn't show up. So that's a challenge here. Are you just gonna say, hi, guy works, and I don't have faith? But the end here, it says, I will show you my faith by my works. You got to show up. Don't be a Jane. And I don't want to get the ladies mad. It's just a metaphor. It's just a metaphor, okay? So let's go on to number two of the outline here. Live sacrificially to be a living sermon. Live sacrificially to be a living sermon. Verse 17, it says, even if I am poured out as a drink offering among the sacrificial offerings of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So I believe there's two areas in which we should live sacrificially. And if you want to just turn to Philippians, we're still in chapter 2 here. The first one is we need to be a submissive mind and sacrifice and service to Christ. We need to live that way. Submissive mind of sacrifice and service to Christ. I think I misread that, but that's my point here. So if we go to Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8, and Paul's talking about Jesus here and about what he has done, or what he did, I should say, past tense. But he emptied himself, this is Jesus's, by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And we all know that Jesus died on the cross. He was God, came in the flesh, and he died on a cross, which was very humiliating to a Jewish person to die on a cross. So he was the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate example for us. And then the next one is Another example is Paul. If you just go to the next page, if you look at Philippians 1, 21. And I'm going to read this too. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So Paul here is saying, hey, look, I'm willing to die for my beliefs. I'm willing to die for Christ, but if I do live, I'm going to live for Christ. And then there's a little bit of a dichotomy here. And then if you go over to Philippians 2:21, we talked about this in Sunday school today. Luke brought this up. 2:21, it says, for they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. So you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, am I serving Christ or am I serving yourself? That's the question you got to ask. To be a living, if you're going to sacrifice for Christ, you're going to ask for yourself. Because I think it's easy in our society, it's pretty self-serving. We want to, just like Nike, just do it. If it feels good, do it. Serve yourself because you're number one. But that's not what Scripture says. Just like Paul and Jesus, there are ultimate examples here. They died a martyr's death. Christ died for us. Paul was beheaded. So the second thing, we need to sacrifice ourselves by being a servant to the church. So I was looking at the New Testament here, and one of the guys, it's one of those Greek words that's hard to pronounce here, Epaphroditus. He's still in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 30. It's just a quick story about how he served the church and Paul and ultimately Christ. I'll read it real quick, verses 25 through 30. It says, I have thought it necessary to send you, Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him. Therefore, you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So this Epaphroditus, he risked his life coming from Philippi to Rome and then back to Philippi. He almost died. But he was sacrificial to his people in Philippi and to Paul and ultimately Christ. So those are the two things under sacrificially to be a living sermon. And I was reading a story about Alexander the Great, and I'm not promoting Alexander the Great by any stretch of the imagination. Alexander the Great was a pagan with a capital P. But what I appreciated about Alexander the Great was that when he led his men into battle, he went in the front. He led by example, and he led sacrificially. So I think I read an article where he was wounded 25 times because he was always in the front of his men, and his men followed him into battle, and ultimately he conquered the world. But under one epic battle, we talked about this morning too, it's kind of ironic how this all ties together, but he heard about one of his subordinate officers defected during the battle and ran. And so after the battle, they caught him, and Alexander the Great wanted to see him. He wanted to talk to him. And so they brought him to Alexander the Great, and he happened to have the same name. His name was Alexander the Young Buck. And so they brought him to Alexander, and Alexander the Great said, is it true that you deserted and ran? And he said, yes. And I think his knees were buckling like tambourines at this point. And so Alexander gave him two options. He said, young Alexander, you can do one of these two things. You can change your name or change your ways. Now, I don't know the rest of the story, but I can pretty much say that he changed his ways. He didn't run anymore. And that's a good metaphor for living sacrificially for not only Christ, but for the church. Don't run. Stay in there. Change your ways if you are. So that's the, and then the last one here of the outline, Live joyfully to be a living sermon. Live joyfully to be a living sermon. It says in verse 18 here in chapter 2, likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. So live joyfully to be a living sermon. Joy, my little wifey taught me many years ago. I don't know where she heard this, but joy is a great acronym. It's Jesus, others, yourself. And I think if you did that, it's a mindset. Jesus, others, yourself. I think it would, you would be a living sermon in and by itself. But it's totally different than circumstances. Circumstances don't make us happy. Joy does. And let me just read you a quote from Wiersbe. I got this out of one of my commentaries. It says, life is not a series of disappointing ups and downs, but rather it is a sequence of delightful ins and outs. God works in, we work out. The example comes from Christ. The energy comes from the Holy Spirit, and the result is joy. That's a great quote from Wiersbe. That we don't go through life looking for circumstances to give us joy. We have joy built in. And if you just want to turn over to Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's Paul talking. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing that. I'm not going to break out in song because I sound like an injured barred animal if I start to sing. So let me just say, joy is not a feeling. It's a confidence that God is sovereign and in control of everything for the believer's good. Let me just read that again. Joy is not a feeling. That's where people get tripped up here. Joy is not a feeling. It's a confidence that God is sovereign and in control of everything for the believer's good. That's what we hang our hats on. And I'll just read this quick poem here. I'm not a poem guy, but I saw this, and I thought it was applicable to today's lesson here. He said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell me the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counseling is confusing, but examples are always clear. The best of all preachers are men who live their creeds. For it is good put in action. For to see good is put in action, everybody needs. I can learn to do it, but if you let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. The lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lesson from observing what you do. I may not understand the high advice that you may give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. I think that's a great little poem that kind of summarizes this section of Scripture, which I brought forth. I think at the end point here, we should live in such a way that our walk matches our talk. Amen. So let me just close with, you know, the people may say, well, how do you become a living sermon? Well, first you have to be a believer. And let me just go through the Roman road here real quick. Most of you probably know this, but for someone, this is the gospel real quick. Let me just go through the Roman road here. Verse 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. So there's no difference in anybody. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that's how we become a live fish from a dead fish. Okay? And then we go over to Romans 10:9-10. I'll read that. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So that's the gospel real quick. That's how you become a believer, and that's how you become a living sermon. So with that, I'll just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day today. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for being the sovereign God that you are, Lord. And we just ask you to be with us as we want to be shining stars. We want to be servants and sacrifice. And we want to have that joy that you give us. We want to have that joy that's a mindset that people can see in this dark world. We want to be shining stars because we do live in a dark world, Lord. And we just thank you for your word. And we just want to follow your word and walk the talk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.